All right, Alexander, let's talk about Russiagate and CrowdStrike. And it looks like the firm that was in the thick of things during the entire Russiagate hoax and supposedly investigated those DNC emails, supposedly, and then passed off the information to the FBI, supposedly, is starting to walk things back. What's the story here with CrowdStrike? And CrowdStrike has some interesting ties as well to the Atlantic Council. One of their board members is also a technical advisor or on the technical board of the Atlantic Council as well. And you can get into who exactly the Atlantic Council is. So get into the story, Alexander.
Well, indeed. I mean, first of all, let's just mention that, you know, we mustn't lose sight of Russiagate. I know lots of things are going on in the world with coronavirus, with market volatility, with economies closing down and all that. But we will eventually get through all of that. And we do have an election coming in November. And we need to remember that in the United States, when there was an election before in 2016, there was a sustained and organized attempt by elements of what I unhesitatingly call the deep state in alliance with sections of the media and the Democratic Party's National Committee to try to subvert and overturn the results of that 2016 election. If we lose sight of that and we lose sight of what happened in Russiagate, then we are in a much greater risk of the same thing happening again in November. In fact, the rise and rise and rise of Joe Biden, dare I say it, reminds me of many of the same things that happened back in 2016. So let's now go back to what CrowdStrike is. CrowdStrike is a company. It's a tech company. They were commissioned by the Democratic National Committee, with which they have extremely strong links, to carry out this investigation, as the DNC said, of the DNC's computers. This was in the run-up to WikiLeaks' publication of emails within the Democratic National Committee, which showed the extent to which the DNC had, in effect, rigged the 2015-2016 primaries in favor of Hillary Clinton, the appointed, anointed heir in place of Bernie Sanders. So that is who CrowdStrike is. They carried out this investigation. This is a tech company. It's got all kinds of interesting connections, as you said, with the Atlantic Council. It's the people who run it are fiercely and fervidly anti-Donald Trump. And of course, they have also done work in Ukraine, which we're going to discuss fairly soon. Now, the CrowdStrike published this extraordinary report in which they claimed that they had obtained evidence, or that they had established that it was the Russians who'd hacked the DNC. And they identified two different bod agencies of the Russian intelligence community, who they called Cozy Bear and Fancy Bear, as the agencies that had hacked the DNC. One, which they said was a unit working for Russian military intelligence, the GRU. The other supposedly working for the FSB, which is a civilian intelligence agency in Russia, which has a lineage in the former Soviet KGB. And that is what CrowdStrike claimed. And notoriously and famously, the FBI did not carry out its own independent investigation. It did not look at the DNC servers or computers. It accepted CrowdStrike's opinion of it, and CrowdStrike's opinion that there had been this hack, and that it was the Russians who did it, and that it was the Russians who were somehow responsible for all the leaks of all the emails. That became, as we know, the accepted orthodoxy in the United States, which everybody in the political system has to adhere to, and which the media has accepted and is running with. Now, what has happened is that there have been increasing criticisms of CrowdStrike. There have been all sorts of people coming forward with alternative hypotheses. CrowdStrike has now appointed a PR company, and that PR company has come to an extraordinary conclusion, or at least has made an extraordinary admission. Firstly, it says that CrowdStrike's investigation of the DNC servers and all that is somehow a valid one because the US intelligence community has accepted it. Now, you think about that, that's entirely circular. It says that because this intelligence community, which didn't verify what we did, accepts what we did, that must mean that what we did is true. That's not how you actually apply logic and investigation. That's one thing. But the other thing they said is that CrowdStrike makes no claim that it was the Russians who provided the stolen emails, the emails that were stolen from the DNC computers to WikiLeaks. So we've had Bob Mueller in his famous indictment, and more clearly in his famous report, admitting that the US intelligence community doesn't actually have evidence, doesn't have conclusive evidence that it was the Russians who provided the emails to WikiLeaks. We've done videos about this, and we've pointed out how Mueller's report actually tries to conceal that admission by packing it in manipulative and unusual language. But if you drill carefully into that report, that admission is there. And now we have CrowdStrike, which is the only agency that has actually ever ever investigated the servers and said that there was a hack. We now have CrowdStrike admitting that also. There's no evidence that the Russians provided the emails to WikiLeaks. So, what do we conclude from this? We must conclude that the whole theory, which is at the foundation theory with Russiagate, that the Russians hacked the DNC and provided the emails to WikiLeaks, that really doesn't stand, because neither Bob Mueller nor CrowdStrike are alleging it anymore. I'm going to say some other things also about CrowdStrike. One of the things that happened, and I remember this, is that in the autumn, they said that they could prove conclusively that it was the Russians, because the same malware that was supposedly used by the Russians to hack the DNC, which is the malware that goes, you know, was used by the Russians to hack the Ukrainian military in the war in eastern Ukraine in 2014. Well, they've retracted that also. They admit that, they've now admitted, the Ukrainians have always disputed that claim. They've now admitted that that malware didn't, in fact, have the effect that it was supposed, that they claimed that it had. So they've retracted what they argued in autumn 2016 as the conclusive evidence of Russian involvement, and they've retracted the claim, or rather they've accepted that they have no proof for the claim, that they're not actually claiming, in fact, that it was the Russians who provided the emails to WikiLeaks, which was stolen from the DNC. So we are left with nothing, or so it seems to me.
That seems to be CrowdStrike's MO. They make an outrageous claim against Russia, and then they walk it back a couple of months or years later. That seems to be how they operate.
Yeah. Exactly. No proof. Let me stress it again. No proof it was the Russians who hacked the DNC. The evidence that, you know, the evidence, the Ukrainian evidence about what happened in the Donbass war, that isn't relied upon by CrowdStrike anymore. And they're not claiming it was the Russians who provided the emails to WikiLeaks. So where do the Russians fit in all of this?
Well, let's take a look at who CrowdStrike is, Alexander, very quickly, and I'll take you to the Gateway Pundit. Who is CrowdStrike? We reported that CrowdStrike is related to the Ukraine, and this is through Ukrainian billionaire and longtime contributor to the Clinton Foundation, Viktor Pinchuk. We also know CrowdStrike is connected to James Clapper and the Atlantic Council. Pinchuk serves on the International Advisory Board of Washington-based think tank called the Atlantic Council. The group is connected to Ukrainian interests through its Ukraine in Europe initiative, which is designed to galvanize international support for an independent Ukraine within secure borders whose people will determine their own future. Also serving on the International Advisory Board of the Atlantic Council is James Clapper, who served as Obama's Director of National Intelligence. Funnily enough, Dan Bongino discovered that the chief technology officer of the only company that investigated the hacking of the DNC servers and quickly determined it was the Russians is a non-resident senior fellow in cybersecurity at the Atlantic Council. His name is Dmitry Alperovich, owner of CrowdStrike. We also know that in July 2015, Google invested $100 million into CrowdStrike. And Alexander, we also know from our own reporting that Eric Schmidt, the longtime CEO of Google, and I believe he is on the board of Alphabet Inc., was the technology advisor for the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Indeed, we have all of these connections. Can I just say, Pinchuk, by the way, who we just mentioned, I believe he was, for a time, the single biggest contributor to the Clinton Foundation. So here's this important Ukrainian oligarch. He is a fervid supporter of the Maidan movement in Ukraine. In fact, many people feel that he bankrolled it, that the Maidan movement, which gained power in Ukraine in February 2014, was essentially his creation. At least he funded it to the point
him
where
and Soros.
That, you know, he was the person who wrote the checks for it. So he was the man behind the coup, if you like. So that gives you an idea who he is. What is the Atlantic Council? The Atlantic Council is this extraordinary, this is the world that we now are living in, where powerful governments, especially, dare I say, the American and British governments, carry out so much of their activity through NGOs, where once upon a time, you know, NATO had its press office, if you like, and intelligence work was done through the CIA. Now, an awful lot of what used to be intelligence activity isn't done by the CIA anymore, or at least not directly. It's done through an NGO, which is called the National Endowment for Democracy, which is in fact an NGO. It can receive private donations, but is in effect an instrument for US foreign policy, and in fact carries out many of the regime change operations that the United States has been involved in. Now, the Atlantic Council is essentially the PR arm of NATO and of the State Department. So you have the Atlantic Council. It's an NGO. It's based in Washington. It's provides it's a meeting place. It's a meeting place for all sorts of people who are involved in various foreign policy or interested in foreign policy things. But it follows unswervingly NATO and US policy. And it is dominated by people who are connected to the NATO and US and defense establishment. In other words, to the deep state. It's an entirely deep state operation. And I would add, by the way, it's not just Alperovich and people like this who are involved in it. I gather that, you know, an organization we know, we've heard many things about here in Britain, Bellingcat, they've had some kind of connections to the Atlantic Council, or so I understand. So we are looking at a deep state body, and anybody who is intimately connected with the Atlantic Council is likely to share the kind of views that you would expect from people like James Clapper, James Comey, all these people we've been hearing so much about. So we shouldn't be surprised that the DNC turned to an agency, to a company like CrowdStrike, to carry out its investigation. And we shouldn't be surprised that an organization like CrowdStrike came out with the virulently anti-Russian conclusions that it did, with conclusions which it is now gradually walking back from.
All right, Alexander, let me read you one final excerpt from the Gateway Pundit piece, and it deals with a cyber expert, Yaakov Applebaum, who says that the CrowdStrike claims are completely false. Applebaum posted a report in January 2019 with information basically proving that the DNC was not hacked by the Russians. Applebaum's first argument is this. According to the Washington Post, using CrowdStrike, DOJ, and their other usual hush-hush government sources in the know, the attack was perpetrated by a Russian unit led by Lieutenant Captain Nikolai Kozachev, who allegedly crafted a malware called X-Agent and used it to get into the network and install keystroke loggers on several PCs. This allowed them to see what the employees were typing and take screenshots of the employee's computer. This is pretty detailed information, but if this was the case, then how did the DOJ learn all of these details and use them in the indictments without the FBI ever forensically evaluating the DNC HRC computers? And since when does the DOJ, an organization that only speaks the language of indictments, use hearsay and third parties like the British national Matt Tait, a former GCHQ collector and a connoisseur of all things related to Russian collusion, CrowdStrike, or any other evidence lacking chain of custody certification as a primary source for prosecution? A second point by Applebaum is that three of the Russian GRU officers on the DOJ wanted by the FBI list were allegedly working concurrently on multiple non-related projects like interfering with the 2016 United States elections, both HRC and DNC, while at the same time, they were also allegedly hacking anti-doping agencies. The same guys were working on both projects, which is all but impossible. Do we really know if they're even real people or even real Russians? Applebaum argues, the fact that three had multiple concurrent, high impact, and high visibility project assignments is odd because this is not how typical offensive cyber intelligence teams operate. These units tend to be compartmentalized. They are assigned to a specific mission, and the task force stays together for the entire duration of the project.
Well, there you go. I mean, you've heard what somebody, Mr. Applebaum, has to say. He is an expert in this field. I am not, but I'm going to make two quick observations. I'm not going to challenge any of that. I think, you know, I'm sure he's right. What Mr. Applebaum says is right. But I'm going to make two quick observations. Firstly, it turns out, I mean, this is another very extraordinary thing about CrowdStrike, is that he never completed his report. So we had what the FBI apparently was working from was an initial report that CrowdStrike prepared, which was prepared basically in draft, but it was never actually completed. So we've never actually had, there is no such thing as an actual final CrowdStrike report into the alleged hack of the DNC computers. Now, if you think about it, that's already a pretty remarkable and extraordinary fact. And the second thing, which is that, of course, when the US intelligence community in January 2017 published their now notorious intelligence community assessment, which basically accepted CrowdStrike's views about the Russian hack, the National Security Agency said that they had only moderate confidence in it. The CIA and the FBI said, you know, that they had confidence in it, but the NSA qualified their level of confidence. So, you know, we mustn't, and, you know, they are the sort of people who, if there had been a hack in the way described, would presumably know. William Binney, who we've heard an awful lot about, people who follow the whole story about the Russian hack will know about. He was the former technical director of the NSA. He has said that if there was a hack of the sort described, then the NSA would definitely know about it and would be able to find out all the evidence for it. So, you know, again, just as I have to accept what Mr. Applebaum says as the as an expert in this field, which I am not, so I have to accept what Mr. Binney says, given that he is an perhaps the leading expert in this field, since he created most of the NSA systems, which, as I said, I'm not. So he knows. I assume what he says is right. The last thing is about the GRU unit, which is supposed to have carried out these hacks. Another person who is an expert in these fields, not in perhaps cybersecurity and intelligence, you know, hacking and all that kind of thing, but who is a former intelligence officer and is a former and is a member, a current member of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and who was the head of the inspectors in Iraq for a time while Saddam Hussein was in power, who's Scott Ritter, and who was absolutely right, by the way, in saying that, you know, Iraq did not have chemical and weapons of mass destruction in the run-up to the Iraq war. He has said, or at least I've understood him to say, that the likely place where the names of all those GRU officers was taken from was an NSA wire diagram about this particular unit. In other words, somebody looked up this report from that the NSA had produced, which had nothing to do with, you know, the hacking investigation or anything of that kind. Assumed that it was presumably this unit that had carried out this hack, this alleged hack. Looked at the wire diagram, saw all the names of all the people there, and lifted those names from the wire diagram, and put them in Mueller's indictment, which, if you think about it, begs so many questions about this indictment, because if that's indeed the case, then of course, you know, lifting names out of a wire diagram doesn't constitute any sort of evidence. And we should remember the circumstances that indictment appeared. It was just as Donald Trump was meeting Vladimir Putin. There was supposed to be a summit. That indictment gave all the impression of being a wrecking indictment, you know, intended to complicate the summit and embarrass Trump. And it's also the kind of indictment that was presumably published because the Mueller never expected that the Russians would ever turn up to defend it. So he was confident that he would never have to produce any evidence to support it. And of course, if it had been a wire diagram, that indictment would have to be thrown out.
I find it really interesting what you just said, Alexander, because I go back to Applebaum's assessment, and he poses the question, you know, do we even really know if these are real people or even or real Russians? That's interesting. And the fact that he says, and it makes total sense to me, why would you have these guys working on multiple cyber intelligence projects?
I'm sure they don't. Can I just say something about that? I mean,
it sounds very odd that you would have them doing all these multiple tasks. Right. Instead of, you know, having one team focused on one cyber intelligence operation.
Well,
spread out doesn't make any sense.
Well, particularly such a sensitive one. I mean, I'm going to say this straight away. And I'm not an intelligence person. I'm not a person who knows anything about hacking. But it doesn't, you know, I've read extensively around this subject. It doesn't make any kind of sense to me at all. I would have thought such a sensitive thing as hacking the DNC computers, you would assign a specialist team to it if you're going to do it. And that's what they would be entirely focused on doing. And they would be under very strict orders and very strict control. You wouldn't have them roaming around, disclosing who they are and involving themselves in all sorts of other things like, you know, anti-doping hacks and that kind of thing. I mean, that just doesn't make any kind of sense to me. So I find that very difficult to believe, and it's absolutely not what I would expect of Russian intelligence.
Right.
Which
it sounds very scattered brain, disjointed, scattered, and disorganized. That and doesn't sound like
Russian intelligence at all. I mean, you know, Russian intelligence, as we have seen from the Syrian war, as we saw in Chechnya, you know, it's a very, very powerful and potent and well-organized intelligence effort. You can't assume that the other side is incompetent in that way. It doesn't make sense. I'm sure they're not. And if what Scott Ritter says is right, if I've understood him correctly, which I believe I have done, then, as I said, it doesn't make sense because it isn't true. As I said, there is a Russian military unit. There are people serving on it. Their names are known. They are in a wire diagram that the NSA produced as part of a report into this unit. And somebody, perhaps not what Bob Mueller himself, perhaps Andrew Wiseman, who is, as we've discussed many times in our programs, the person who's really seems to have been the driving force in the Mueller investigation, simply looked up that report and lifted the names out of it and put them in an indictment. And that seems to be, to me, a perfectly plausible scenario.
All right. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Check your subscription as well to our channel because YouTube unsubscribes people from our channel all the time. Also, look for us on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Go to the Durant shop and pick up awesome merchandise, magic mugs, and awesome t-shirts. And we also have our friends at Patriotic Legacy who are working with us and sponsoring us so that we can give you an awesome promotion. Duran20 is the promo code, and you get 20% off the Patriot Beacon, which Alexander has been taking for a test drive almost on a daily basis, I believe.
Oh, indeed so, absolutely. I mean, can I just say, this is the Patriot Beacon, and it's, Americans, it's an American company, and Americans should be very, very proud of this because it is the best patriotic torch I have ever, ever seen. It is incredibly strong. It's completely indestructible as far as I can see. I mean, I this would certainly survive the apocalypse, the deluge, it seems to me. It is so strong and well made. It will never run out of power because it's solar powered. It's got every accessory you can think of. So if you get lost, I should say I am a great and passionate driver. I love driving. And I mean, recently I drove all the way to Berlin through Northern Europe in the midst of, vast storms, in winter. So, it's quite a challenge. It's the perfect thing to have for something like that. And if you get lost, it's got a compass there. If you are caught in the dark and, it can get very dark in Northern Europe, it lights up magnificently and you can do all kinds of things with it. You can do flashes because, by the way, you need sometimes to, because as a safety measure, definitely. It's got a magnificently strong magnet, so you can stick it onto the metal parts of your car and it'll stay there. It's a very strong magnet. It absolutely doesn't fall. It's got a seat belt cutter. If you get into an accident, you can also smash your windscreen if you need to get out of your car fast. And dare I say it, in these difficult and troubled times, if you need something to protect yourself with, well, it can do that too. It can also work as a hammer. And last but not least, if you want to draw attention to yourself because you need help urgently, it's got an alarm. I don't know whether people can hear that, but there, that's what it does. And already my dogs are reacting. They're scampering in the background. They do. They react to it very fast. And by the way, since I speak about my dogs, the other thing I do with this torch is when I go out walking with them at night, as I often and regularly do, well, here it is, so that I can keep track on where they're going. So this is the best, most amazing torch you can get. Patriotic Legacy are makers of an absolutely wonderful product. I cannot recommend it too strongly. All friends of the Duran should have one. So here it is, the Patriotic Beacon for you to have. And of course, we also have our own products. We have our magnificent magic mugs, since we're dealing with things that are, as I said, fairly, you want, if you are in a tight place, well, I've got the Duran mug, which has the guise that you want to have with you when you're in a tight place, which is the emblem of Russia's Alpha Force, their best special forces unit, one of the best special forces in the units in the world, absolutely up there with the Delta Force and the Rangers and the SAS and all the others. And it is a magnificent mug of the kind that I'm sure they would be delighted to have, because it's strong, it's almost indestructible, like the Patriot Beacon. Not perhaps quite so indestructible, because it's made from porcelain, but it's very strong. You can keep your tea and your coffee hot in it, or your beer cold, and it handles beautifully and it looks beautiful, and it's got no chips and it doesn't break, despite the fact, I can say that, despite the fact I've had this for a year, you can see it's in perfect condition. And that's true of all our products too. We've always gone for quality. We've gone for quality in our shirts, like the long sleeve T-shirt I'm wearing now with the Duran logo there, our own double-headed eagle, but it's 100% cotton. You can get similar excellent quality T-shirts, short-sleeved and long-sleeved. You can get polo shirts. You can get hats, hoodies, stickers, V-neck shirts, and you can get our e-books. And of course, we've done an e-book on Russiagate, which was the topic of this program. So you can find all these amazing things in our shop. You can support the Duran by buying them. You can be the proud owner by having them. So come to the shop, buy these great things, get yourself a Patriot Beacon. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to the duranshop.com for Duran merchandise and 20% off for the Patriot Beacon using Duran20. Use that code at checkout and you'll get 20% off. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.